Good morning. Welcome to Spanish Fork United Methodist Church. We're glad that you decided to join us for worship this morning on this cool but beautiful day that God has given to us. We pray that it will be a blessing to you in this hour. Don't forget to register your attendance with us as you use the binders at the ends of your pews. And now, if you would stand up and take a moment to greet those around you and welcome them to church this morning. Now, as we make our way back to our seats, let us join together as we worship our God. Stand as we sing our opening hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4.
Thank you. remain standing, let us affirm our faith together as we recite the Apostles' Creed. The words are on the screen. If you need them, let us say what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May be seated.
The presence of the Lord is in this place. As we come together this morning to go before our Heavenly Father with prayer, we know that there is many need, many prayer requests, and many prayer concerns. But isn't it an honor to know that we can always go to our Heavenly Father in prayer? Let's go to God in prayer together. Dear God, how wonderful that we can come to you and call on your holy name. We pause in this moment to just say thank you, Lord. Thank you for the breath in our bodies, the excitement in our lungs to be able to praise your name on this beautiful, blessed day you have given us. Today we come to bask in your amazing grace, and may we be reminded of how precious we are to you. Today we run to the fountain of your grace, and may our thirst be quenched in knowing you. Today we open the doors of our church and our heart to those who are spiritually wounded. May our arms open wide with comfort, and may our ears hear the spirit that your words will give to our pastor today, dear Lord, so that we can show the world how good our God is in all circumstances. May we show that we are Christians by the love that we show to others, dear Lord. As we call up on you this morning, Heavenly Father, we come together to pray as a loving church family, the way that you have taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer by praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. We were a little hesitant getting our light shining there, but thank you for joining in this morning. As the ushers come, let us prepare our hearts for prayer today. Lord, we do thank you and praise you for your goodness to us. Thank you for allowing us to participate, Lord, as your people, as you've called us by your grace through your Son, Jesus. Let us freely give today in our offering, our tithes, our gifts, as you've freely given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And would you bless and even multiply these gifts as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The anthem that we're about to sing for you is called Set Me as a Seal, and it's taken from a passage out of Song of Solomon. That book of the Bible is basically a book of love poems between Solomon and one of his wives, which I guess is appropriate the Sunday before Valentine's Day. But there is deeper theological meaning in this passage. It says, set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For the Jewish people of that time, they would have understood the notion of setting as a seal because they were commanded to do that all the way back in Deuteronomy in the Pentateuch written by Moses. It said to remember the commands of the Lord and meditate on them and teach them to your children and talk about them when you eat dinner and talk about them when you're walking up and down the road and write them on the doorposts of your house and set them as a seal on your arm and bind them to your head. And the way that they would have done that, Jewish men in that time, they would have made a little leather box called a phylactery. And they would wear that on their forehead and on their arm. And inside the little leather box would be a little piece of sheepskin parchment with the Shema. The Shema is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And it says, hear, O Israel, The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and soul and strength. The next passage in our anthem says, for love is stronger than death. That hearkens the love that Wesley wrote about, that love that will not let us go. A love so true, so discreet, and so powerful. It's the love that was exemplified by Jesus Christ, who even as nails were pounded through his flesh, could only say, Father, forgive them. We offer this anthem as a prayer that you would know that kind of love, the love of God that pursues us even beyond the grave, and that we would set that love as a seal on our heart and on our arm. May that be true for each of us and for all of us. Amen.
Set me as a seal upon.
invite you to remain standing as we turn to the Holy Word of God. The scripture today comes from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. Hear now the word of the Lord. See, I set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over to the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, life that you had and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give to them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I want, before I start the sermon today, I wanted to express appreciation to Pastor Kitsy, especially filling in my absence last week and preaching, and also our staff, and to you wonderful lay people, the leadership here in the life of our church. Thank you for the prayers for my family and the loss of my brother as well. Appreciate so much your prayers and your continued prayers, and thank you for being the church to us here at Spanish Ford. As we talk about this, these words from Moses to the people, and considering choices with ultimate consequences today, most of you have seen or know about the TV show, Let's Make a Deal. Y'all seen that? Yeah? Yeah? Prior years, it was hosted by Monty Hall. So I remember it most there. A new version of the show is still going on today, hosted by Wayne Brady. And as you know, in that show, people dress up in funny garb and try to get the attention of the host so that he will make a deal with them. I thought about dressing up in funny garb today as I came to the sermon, but I thought that might not be a very good choice as I talk about choices today. But the intriguing thing about this show is people, of course, have two or three options and choices. In a matter of seconds, they have to choose whether they will take behind what's in curtain number one or curtain number two, or if they've been given $1,500 by the show host, what will they do? Will they trade the money in their hand for curtain number one or curtain number two? And of course, the interesting twist is nobody knows what's behind those curtains, right? It could be a new car or a new boat, or it could be a goat or a baby bunny or a weed eater. And they only have a few seconds to make up their mind. What choice will they make? I think people like the show, which has been going on since 1963, hard to believe, because the risk involved in the contestants and the choice that they have before them, and the risk in trading for something perhaps of greater value or something that might be extremely better. If we were in their shoes, what would we do? As we place ourselves in that program, what choice would we make? I think that's part of the lure of the show, right? It's quite entertaining to see the unveiling of the curtain for someone who's traded the $1,500 to reveal the consequence of their choice. And yet, even in that fun and entertaining game, we recognize that there are consequences for the choices that they are making. Will it be a new car or a baby goat? Will it be a boat or a bunny rabbit? Will it be a dining room suit or a worn-out rocking chair? We don't know until the curtain is lifted. But we do know one thing for certain, in that choices have consequences. I was reading from the PBS North Carolina. They published information about choices, and particularly as Americans, we're proud of the fact that we can choose our government leaders. We may not always like the choices, but we have a vote. There's a ballot and a vote. Additionally, as American consumers in a free market society, we have a lot of choices when it comes to products and services in our country. Go to the supermarket and make a choice of salad dressing, or to Lowe's to find a light bulb, or even buying a car. You think of all of the different brand names and then the different trim levels of those cars. So many choices, so many options. Another example is the TV service. What TV service do you use? And once it's hooked up, what channel are you going to watch? Do you have regular coffee or decaf or even a cold drink or a hot drink? What should I wear to work? Which route do I take to work? Should I post a like on Facebook? Care to guess how many choices we make in any given day? Researchers at Cornell University estimate that we make 226 decisions every day just on food. When you think about that, it's not just the choice you make, but as you think about this, even the surrounding us today, where would we go for lunch, and then the menu, what the menus of those different places, count them up. It would be incredible. We might say that these are first world issues, for sure. And as the level of responsibility increases, so does the ultimate consequences for the choices we make. It's estimated that the average adult makes 35,000 remotely conscious decisions each day. And I was floored when I read that. Each decision, of course, has certain consequences that can be good or bad. And I was amazed at the number of choices there. But better said, I think it's pertaining to the things we have to choose from, not just the choice we make, that is comprised in that 35,000 range. So we're making decisions every day that have consequences of varying degrees in our lives. What money will I spend? What money will I save? Will I eat that carrot or the donut? Oh, And later questions about marriage, career decisions, critical choices that have larger consequences in our lives. What we're talking about today is choices that affect our lives and have ultimate consequences, not only now, but also to our eternal destiny. So we're talking about choices with ultimate consequences here in this text. And here in Deuteronomy, Moses is placing a choice before the people regarding how they will live their lives. And he's really challenging them to be faithful to God when they go into the land to inherit it. And the main challenge here is he's actually warning them, giving them a promise and a warning, not to forget God, but to follow after God's ways and designs for their lives once they get into the land they're going to inherit. I find it interesting here that Moses gives the consequences first. He gives the consequences first. It's quite plain about what he's saying here. Moses is leaving nothing behind a curtain. There's no question, and there's no doubt about what he's saying. The consequence is very ultimate. This is life or death. This is a blessing or a cursing. And he's actually saying three things to the people here. We'll call this choice number one. There's three things in it. Love the Lord first. Secondly, walk in God's ways. Thirdly, keep God's commands. We could sum that up in the great Christian hymn, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way. But there's another part to this that he states, and that is, we would call that choice number two. Although it is a default as much as a choice, consequence is very negative. If they choose not to love God first, if they choose not to walk in God's ways, if they choose not to obey God's commands, then the consequence is there's a curse. They ultimately will perish. Verse 18 puts it very plainly, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish You shall not live long in the land you're going over the Jordan to enter and possess. Again, the consequence is very clear, very transparent. There's nothing hidden here. And when you look at that and those two choices, you would think, well, that is a no-brainer here. I'm going to choose the first one. I want the blessing. I want to live. I want to stay in the land. I want God's blessing over my life. That would be certainly the direction that most people would choose. But when I thought about this further is, why did Moses even give this choice before the people? And here's what I think. I think God was giving instruction through Moses to his people because God knows a lot about human nature. After all, he created us, right? When we have prosperity and life is good, we tend to move in a direction of drifting away from God. The subtle decisions that we make each day are either moving us closer or further away from God. And I think the human tendency is to get so wrapped up in the possessions, in the prosperity, in the activities of life, that we forget the one who makes it all possible. In the words of the great poet Henry Wadsworth, the world is too much with us, late and soon. Getting and spending, we lay waste our powers. Little we see in nature that is ours. We have given our hearts away, a sordid boon. Longfellow was, I think, indicating the human tendency to worship the creation above the Creator, as the Apostle Paul put it. Sadly, while they may have wanted to choose life and the blessing, we know how this turned out. The people ended up making choices that moved them away from God, from loving God first and walking in His ways. They moved more in the direction of loving themselves first, of walking in the ways they created, and of following their own desires and wishes. As I think about that, that is the path of fallen humanity that we're all very subject to follow. I don't want to place Monty Hall or Wayne Brady in the place of the devil. But from the dawn of creation, at the center of human life, there have been choices. And the devil is always out there, ready to make a deal, right? It goes all the way back to the book of beginnings in Genesis. I find it interesting that Eve had a choice to eat from all the other trees in the garden but the one. And that is the tree that she chose to eat from, and Adam with her. Of course, we know from that choice came very negative consequences that has affected every human being. Paul talks about it in Romans 5. It's the doctrine of original sin or inherited depravity. Consequence of our original parents' choice. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way death came to all people, because all sin. From the one man referenced here is talking about Adam, who made a choice that had ultimate consequences for the entire human race. And that consequence was to bring about sin and death to everyone. Let me say here, quickly, for all of us, in this choice, there's always consequences. The choice to sin is the consequence of separation, always, spiritually and physically. It brings death to our relationship with God and to others. I was thinking again about the temptation of Jesus. He was presented with certain choices. Again, it's like the devil was going out to say, let's make a deal. Would Jesus turn the stone to bread? Would Jesus cast himself down from the pinnacle of the temple? Would Jesus bow down and worship Satan? Of course, we are grateful to know that Jesus passed that test, and he made choices that affect all our lives today. In that same passage, to continue, Paul writes in Romans 5:17, For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Talk about how choices bring ultimate consequences. Adam's choice brought about death to the entire human race. Jesus' choice brought about life. Life to all who trust in him. That's good news for all of us here today. But even that good news, we have to choose. Very similar to Moses, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount talked about choices in life that we make. In Matthew 7, 13 and 14, he talked about two roads that we travel on or can travel on. Verse 13, Matthew 7, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And as I read over that, it makes me ask, am I on the narrow road in my life, or am I on the broad road? And we can't be traveling both those roads at the same time. We're either on one or the other. Am I making choices in my life about being on the narrow path? And notice the consequences of which road we choose. Life or destruction. Ultimate consequences. And Jesus concludes the Sermon on the Mount by giving the parable of the wise and the foolish builders. Again, it represents choices and consequences. Two primary choices again. This is Matthew 7, 24 through 27, the parable of the wise and foolish builders. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on a rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rains came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Sure sounds a lot like Moses back in Deuteronomy, and choices and consequences. Several years ago when I was in Prattville, I was making a visit to one of the congregants there north of town in a new subdivision. As I turned to go down the street on the side of the hill, I saw this nice two-story house that had shifted off its foundation, and it was broken in half. And I did a double take, and as I looked at that beautiful house, I was thinking, wow, am I really seeing what I'm seeing? Nice, new, two-story house, broken in half, because the foundation shifted. And as I know a little bit about construction and all the many decisions and critical analysis that went into the building of that house, how many rooms, how many bathrooms, how many closets, how many hallways, decisions about the finishing work of that house, the color, the paint, the fixtures, the appliances, all the work and all the sweat and all the contemplation that had gone into that beautiful house. But it was not on a solid foundation. A large rainstorm had come, and it shifted, and it broke in half. I was just awed when I saw it. Beautiful structure, but destroyed. As I thought about that image, and what Jesus is talking about here. In the rush, in the busyness of our lives, we are making choices every day. Some of them may be more inconsequential, but all of our decisions are moving us and shaping our lives and directing us and our future. The late country music star George Jones, before his death, made popular a song entitled Choices. And if you know anything about the life of George Jones, the song depicts his story. Here's what he says. I've had choices since the day I was born. There were voices that taught me right from wrong. If I had listened, I wouldn't be here today, living and dying with the choices I've made. The greater truth in all of this is that God loves us. God desires our best. God wants to bless our lives. God has designed life for us. And God has designed eternal life for us. And God has designed a pathway to follow in that way. And that's a path we must choose. The one that our Creator, our Redeemer, has established. But you better believe, as we know, there's always the subtle voice of the enemy out there wanting to make a deal, wanting us to follow another path, wanting us to create our own path. In a very pivotal moment in Israel's history, when the people were vacillating back and forth between serving God and serving other gods and the decisions that they were making, Joshua turned to the people and he said, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served before the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua was calling them to choose as Moses was calling them to choose who they were going to serve. And I'm convinced that our choices have ultimate consequences. Sometimes we need to be reminded, as we are today, and for some of us, we may need to reevaluate the choices we are making in our lives now. My appeal to you is the same as Moses. Choose life. Choose to follow God's way. It brings the ultimate fulfillment of life now and eternal life. Choose the narrow road of righteousness. Choose to build your life on the rock of Christ, of hearing and doing His words. Choose to follow the only one who can give life abundant and eternal. The altar is open today as we bring this time to a close for anyone, for any need you have in your life. But especially for those who may need to make some decisions, even regarding the choices you're making now. May we pray. Lord, I ask that you come now through your Holy Spirit. Make your word live in us. May your Holy Spirit bring to bear in our own hearts and minds those things that are needed today. And God, I pray we would respond as your Spirit would lead us about the choices and the decisions we are making in our lives. That we would love you first. That we would walk in your ways. That we would trust and obey your commands. We pray this in and through the name of Jesus. Amen.
Please stand.
Lives in my
As we prepare to depart this week, we want to remind you about a few announcements as we've been blessed by today's sermon. You'll find the calendar and more information on upcoming events in your bulletin, but we want to invite you to our Ash Wednesday service, which is February the 22nd at 6:30 p.m., so we invite you to come out and be with us on this time, during this time. Also, our spring retreat for our youth will be at Camp Dixie on February 19th and 20th, and that's for the 9th through the 12th grade, and there's more information on how you can register and the cost of that retreat, and we invite your youth to come and be a part of that. We're excited to announce that our sermon series begins February 22nd, and it is Promised Treasures, and we are so excited to walk into this season with you as we go into this sermon series. As we go into our benediction, we've been blessed by the sermon Pastor Bill has brought us and the Word of God has brought us. May we choose to walk closer to God and decide to allow Him to be the front, the head, and all in our lives. Go in the peace and the grace and the sweet communing spirit of our Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit. And until we meet again, my friends, shalom and the peace of God be with you.